So I now have the pleasure of introducing our first main speaker, and that is Irma Gonzalez. Irma is a 22-year-old woman who I have had the pleasure of getting to know over the past day and a half. She is very warm and a very impassioned speaker. And she is right now currently studying, and from what I know, skipping some exams in Cuba at the University of Havana, where she studies psychology in fourth year. She has been defending her father's right to freedom and the right of all of these five Cuban heroes to their freedom at the International World Festival of Youth and Students in Venezuela, the Che Presente event in Belgium, the World Social Forum in Brazil, and this is her second tour across Canada. I hope that many of you had the pleasure of seeing her in 2003, and we'll have the pleasure of seeing her speak again tonight. So I want to give a warm welcome to Irma.
I wanted to thank you for being here, these many people that give us your time to hear about our case and our relatives. And I'm going to real quick try to explain why we are here in Canada. I think I don't want to bore our friends that have heard from us about this case many times. So, I wanted to start by explaining why these five were doing what they were doing. Since 1959, since the beginning of the revolution, we have been suffering, the Cuban people, from many attacks, sabotages, and things like that, with that kind of violence, from Miami, from people that are organized in Miami and that have killed more than 3,000 Cubans and have injured more than 2,000 people. And this may seem as a shock because terrorism against Cuba is not an issue that you see on TV every day, because it seems to the United States that people that died in Cuba are not people, are not human beings. So nobody knows about this. But we Cubans know, because we have many neighbors or relatives that have suffered because one of their family members have died because of one of these bombs that have been put on a hotel, on a ship, on a plane, because of these people with so much hatred that are trying to bring down our system through violence and that have been organizing through the years in Miami. The United States government has always known about this and has done nothing to stop it. So here is where the five come in. They separate from their families. In the case of my dad, he went to Miami in 1990 to infiltrate these organizations, these terrorist organizations, in order to get to know the plans of attacking Cuba in advance to prevent our people. They were trying to stop terrorism not only against Cuba, but also against many other countries. For example, Miami, where these terrorists have put bombs in places where people that talk about normal relationships between Cuba and the United States live or work. My dad and his four brothers even gave the FBI information about drug dealers that took place in this organization. So they were peace fighters. They were fighting for peace, and they were fighting against terrorism in a peaceful way, infiltrating these organizations. And the United States government, instead of arresting the terrorists, arrested the five. They arrested the five, and since this is a case against Cuba, they have violated their legal and their human rights since the 12th of September 1998, when they got arrested at 4 a.m. in the morning. They were arrested and were put in punishment cell for 17 months. They were not able to see their daughters, their sons. They have been put in punishment cells or what they are called holes in many occasions without an explanation. Just have been put there to bending down. They have tried to use their families to blackmail them. For example, in the case of my dad, the prosecutors told him to testify against the other four, saying that they were spies, which is a lie. And like he said no, they arrested my mom and put her in jail for 3 months and they deported her to Cuba. And now it's been 6 the occasions when they have denied the visa. And it goes on and on. They have delayed the visas of the other relatives, have denied the visa of Gerardo's wife, just she hasn't been able to see him either. They have been putting them in punishment cells for several times. Some of them even naked, where water run through the jail, and it was water from toilets, where there came some dust in the air conditioner conduct, and they pick it up, and it was excrements. So this is in the case of Gerardo. They have violated their legal rights. If I start explaining, it'll take me more than 3 hours to explain how much violations they have made, starting from they didn't have a just trial, a fair trial, because it took place in Miami when since the first day they got arrested there. Against them was hostile, and they charged them with conspiracy to commit espionage because they said that they were, maybe someday they will commit espionage. This is a charge, because they have no evidence that they were spies. Even generals, ex-generals of the FBI came to testify. There were witnesses of the prosecutors. But when they started, the lawyers started to ask them questions, they said that there was no way these five could be spies. There was no way they could gather secret information from the U.S. government and endanger the security of the U.S. government. So the prosecutors decided to change the charge with conspiracy, because they said, well, someday you will commit espionage. Another violation is that in the trial, the five couldn't speak about their motivation. They just said that terrorism against Cuba was not an issue that they were going to discuss in trial. And this was why they were infiltrating these organizations. And so on and on and on. And so we have 26 points of appeal based on the violations of the legal rights of the five. We have, it's been 8 years since they've been in jail. We have been suffering from what I was telling you, the trying to use the families, trying to bend them down. And we have been going throughout the world to raise awareness about the case of the five, because we are asking only for the laws of the United States to be applied. If this is done, they will be free by now. We have appeal. We appeal on these 26 points on three judges of the 11th Circuit of Atlanta, and they said that the trial should be done again because it took place in Miami. So they based their explanation on one of the points, which was the change of venue. So we won that on August 9, 2005. The first thing we got, the first hope we got. But then the prosecutors appealed this decision to the full bank of the 12 judges of the 11th Circuit of Atlanta, and then said that the venue was right. Now, we know this is a political issue. We know this is a political case, and this is why it's been so hard for us to see justice. In the trial of these five, there were so many things that were unfair that make us sometimes want to cry, because there are a lot of things that you you want to say, you want to do, and you can do. In the trial, for example, one of the evidence that they had against my dad was a picture of Fidel Castro that I had in my room. I was 14 years old. I wanted to have the picture. It was in my room. And this was evidence against my dad. The terrorists that I was talking to you about, they went to trial. They went to trial, one of them dressed in camouflage, which is the leader of Comando F4, which means fire on the four coasts of Cuba. And he went dressed in camouflage to trial. And he laughed when he heard the sentences, when he heard what they were charged of, because he knew that nobody would do anything to him. But he knew that they were accusing of four people that were fighting against his kind of violence. And now these people in Miami walk freely, and these five men that were fighting against terrorism are in the jails of different states, suffering from all this kind of violation of their human rights. Now, we are here on this tour around Canada to let you know about this case. It's been so hard for us to let people know about this case because the big media won't say a word about it. Thanks to solidarity, we were able to, we managed to put a whole page in the New York Times about explaining briefly the case of the five. It cost $50,000 to the solidarity. But after that, the New York Times didn't investigate the case, didn't follow the case, didn't put anything, because it is Cuba. It is an issue of terrorism against Cuba. It is five Cuban heroes that were fighting death against these terrorists. So the only thing we hope is to raise the public opinion about the case of the five. It's been 8 years. My sister doesn't know my dad. He left when I was 6, and then when he got arrested, it's been 8 years since he got arrested. Many of their sons and daughters are having been able to be raised by their dad, but this is difficult because maybe I can understand. I can understand that this is an upside down world, that double standard is in the air, that the United States government declares wars against terrorism and put my dad in jail. But it is hard for me to explain to my sister that his dad is in jail for being a good person. When you are little, while you are growing up, they teach you that when you do something right, they applaud you, that's right, they kiss you. But when you do something wrong, then there comes punishment. How can you explain to a little girl, like Ramon's daughter, that their fathers are in jail for doing something right, for fighting terrorism? And they may be little. They may be 8 and 9 years old. But all Cubans, no matter how little you are, know about terrorism against Cuba because it is not paranoia. It's something that we suffer from. It's something that we touch. And so they cannot understand. That's why we're here. We think that you only need to be a human being and feel like a human being to join our cause. The problem is that it is very hard for to get informed about the case. And we are here thanks to all the support of the great people we have met here in Vancouver, that without even knowing us, God to love our parents, her husband, because they were fighting for a better world. Thanks to them, we are here, and I wanted to thank them on behalf of the five, because sometimes when we are home and we feel like we talk and say time is passing by and nothing changes, then there comes a letter from somebody from Venezuela, from Canada, from Brazil, And they receive that at Yale, and then we say, well, maybe there's hope. Because we are counting today, most of all, on solidarity. As I said, we have the law by our side, the truth by our side, but it's not good enough. Not good enough because the United States government, the prosecutors do whatever they want. They're delaying the process. They're putting all their hatred against these five. So we think that if they know that the whole world is watching and asking for justice, they'll have to do it. So I thank you for giving us the opportunity to fight for the freedom of our relatives. And I thank you for listening to us. And I hope that sooner than later, the five are here to thank you properly and in person for all your fight and for joining our struggle.